on my mark, go fast.
We're gonna have some fun.
This is so exciting!
Star Trek Prodigy. Stream all episodes with your family exclusively on Paramount Plus.
You say we don't know. We say we don't know. We say Trek this
Admiral's log, stardate 61403.7. We're on the brink of disaster. After an unexpected incident swapping neural patterns with Dahl-RL on the protostar, I've learned just how mistaken we've been. And I'm left with a splitting headache. Starfleet is in danger. The weapon aboard their ship is a malevolent device called the Living Construct, sent from an alternate future to destroy us. A Trojan horse designed to hijack Starfleet systems the moment a connection is made. Then our fleet will tear itself apart. Thanks to my holographic twin, I now know Chakotay, wherever he is, launched his ship prematurely from enemy hands, which means the weapon won't activate without a manual uplink from the protostar. His sacrifice bought us a sliver of hope. I fear it will be wasted. There are traitors on the Dauntless. Ascensia. And I'm trapped in the brig, using the security feed to record what happened here. If we survive.
Well, well, well. Here we are, Davis Flyers.
Wow.
We are at the end of our season-long journey.
Yeah.
Watching, thinking, enjoying about Prodigy. Should we say a quick hello?
Yes.
Okay, go.
Hello.
Bit more than that.
Who are you? Hello, my name is Izzy. I'm the eldest daughter of the family and the best Davis on the Davis Flyers.
Okay.
My name is Evie. I'm youngest daughter and I highly contradict Izzy's sentence.
I'm Sarah. I am mum of the three.
And I am Steve. I am the father of Davises and therefore... what role did we decide I have on the Davis Flyer, our fictional starship?
I'm pretty sure you had all like the bad stuff. Like you were like cleaning out the warp core.
Evie did say captain first before you contributed your bit, so that's the first answer.
Cleaning lower deck.
The holodeck. Where they clear the holodeck.
Clean out like loads of gunk and
that's the holodeck. You're one of the lower
deckers or something.
Yeah, I'm glad you don't understand what that's about. That's excellent. Good. So yeah, here we are, everyone. We've just watched episode 20 of Prodigy season one.
Supernova Part 2.
Supernova Part 2. Mm-hmm. Which I thoroughly enjoyed. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, we'll explore that a little bit more in a bit.
Again, they figured things out too quickly. I feel like what they wanted to do with the second part as well, the episode needed to be longer.
Okay, yeah, I have a thought about that. I sort of agree with you, yes.
Okay, I didn't know we were going to go in
or
so
at least
next yeah. so quickly.
No,
or
at
least make the two episodes together, because then that you have that beginning bit.
Yeah, like, I don't think they were meant to be watched separately.
Mm. No. It felt like they came up with a solution too quick. And then, like, I looked at, because we had to pause halfway through.
Yeah.
And I realised we'd been watching it for, like, 15 minutes. I was like, what? Okay.
What, as in you thought it had gone more quickly than that?
Yeah. No, I thought there was way more to go.
Yeah.
Isn't. So I don't know if that makes
sense. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a compliment in there to the writers and the the team behind it, because
that's why I thought we were going to go in with positives.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. Because we're used to watching Star Trek taking, you know, 45 minutes, an hour.
Yeah, that's the point.
And they cram as much story and thoughts in these 20, 25 minutes of Prodigy as you get in a 45 minute Next Gen episode or, you know, Discovery or whatever. So yeah, that's maybe that's why. So it's a testament to the storytelling.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, good. Right. So where should we begin? Should we begin with characters? A lot happened character wise.
Oh my God.
Wow.
That was, it was like I got stabbed. And then they pulled the knife out and then stabbed me again.
Wow. Okay. That's a powerful metaphor, Isabel.
It was deep stuff.
Yeah. Go on. Do you want to illustrate that a bit more?
Oh, yeah. Okay. We haven't actually done an episode rundown.
Oh, okay. Well, we should do that. So we'll give Evie the opportunity again, because you did the last one, I think, didn't you?
No.
No?
Was it Izzy last time? Sarah, would you like to do an episode rundown? Sarah would not like to. Sarah's shaking her head. Okay.
Daddy, would you like to do the episode rundown?
No, because I speak too much on these anyway. What, Isabel, would you like to
I think Mummy should do it.
Okay. No, I think you should do it.
Okay, fine. So in this episode we see the part two to Supernova. We have Starfleet ships coming in, front, back and center, I don't know, and they're all blowing each other up.
Yeah.
Their allies, their shields are breaking down. They haven't got
no
much.
Shields. No shields. They've got no shields.
The allies.
Yeah. No, the Starfleet people.
Yeah,
no,
they've got no shields, but the allies' shields that they've been trying to protect the Starfleet ships with.
I hear you.
Yeah, yep. Their shields are running down.
Yep.
And suddenly they come up with a solution to the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The protostar needs to blow up. Mm-hmm. It needs to be destroyed so that it can stop transmitting the signal.
Yep.
That's, you know, the construct is transmitting.
Yep.
Only, how are they going to do it?
Because
if they did it in normal ways, it would cause a supernova. Huh, see how they named the episode now, guys?
Very good, yeah.
Anyway, they work out a solution, basically, and Janeway has to stay behind and press...
Hologram Janeway.
Hologram Janeway has to stay behind and press the button that means that everything's all right.
Mm-hmm.
But don't worry, because she's going to put herself on an Isolinear chip to go with the crew.
Of which apparently there's only one on the whole ship.
Yeah. And so they can go off in a little escape pod they've built.
Mm-hmm.
But wait for it. Wait for it, listeners. The chip isn't big enough.
Yeah.
So it turns out she didn't come with them.
Hence the sadness.
Yeah, hence me being stabbed. Twice.
For an episode you said went really quick, this is a oddly long rundown of the episode.
You do it.
Yeah, Evie, take it on from here.
They blow up. Well, no, they escape and the ship blows up, and you know, then you're taken to Starfleet a month later and they've crashed and everyone's like, oh my gosh, wow. They go to a court thing where,
who's they?
The crew and Admiral Janeway. Vice Admiral Janeway. They go to this court here. I feel like we'll do that in a second. Yeah, and they did like this whole hearing thing. They removed all charges. They didn't get to go to Starfleet Academy, but they are being like
warrant officers
with Janeway. Gwyn decides not to go because there hasn't been first contact with her like
species,
and she wants to warn, well no, she doesn't want to warn them, she wants to like, you know, make sure that they are understanding or whatever. I didn't actually understand that bit. Anyway, Gwyn goes, she kisses Dal. Then Janeway shows them the protostar. There's a new class of ship, the protostar.
Mm-hmm.
New ship, guys. Whoa. Then kind of,
you know, for the last happens. 10 minutes of an episode, Evie, that was really long.
That was a fair burn, Eves.
think it was. But okay.
And then they go off with Janeway, right? But we're not quite sure where.
But to where?
Yeah.
My dear listeners.
Bigger plans.
Where?
Yeah. So, okay. So there's the Precy, the summary of the ep. Evie, what did you like about it?
The graphics.
Okay, yeah, fine, good.
Easy answer.
Okay, that right. Izzy?
Yeah, I liked how much storytelling they managed to fit into the episode.
Yeah.
Always the graphics.
Mm-hmm.
I liked...
I don't feel like they did enough in that episode.
Okay.
We're doing negatives in a minute, Eves.
Okay.
Just hold on for 2 seconds. Yeah. I liked how... Because obviously we talk about themes that maybe the showrunners are trying to tell the kids that are watching it. I like how they did the whole, actually, you need, like, if you have faith and belief in yourself, then sure, it's good to get help. But at some point, you need to be able to do something on your own and have the independence and courage to do it yourself.
For instance?
For instance, when the crew find out that Janeway hasn't come with them and they have to navigate their little ship that they've 3D printed in the last 2 minutes.
5 minutes.
Back to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And she says to them, you know...
Yeah, how did they navigate it?
Perseverance, Eves.
Yeah.
Never giving up. Belief.
Wow. Belief in themselves.
So like she said, magic.
And you know me, I've said the last few episodes that I found the theme cringy, like how they've done it. But actually, I thought that was really sweet.
Mm.
I think they did that with just the right amount of...
sentimentality.
Yeah.
Je ne sais quoi.
That it was
je ne sais quoi. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Generosity.
No, I don't know. That's what it means. I don't know.
Oh, really?
Je ne.
I don't know what, actually. Je ne sais quoi. I don't know what. Je ne sais pas. I don't know. I said that very authoritatively, didn't I? I'm not sure that's what it is. But
no, I'm pretty sure that's what it means. Yeah. Anyway, carrying on.
Wait, how come?
I don't know why. Je ne sais quoi, I think, is I don't know why.
No, but don't people normally say with a bit of je ne sais quoi?
No, I don't think je ne sais quoi is a thing. French speakers listening to this, of which there are probably a couple.
Because we're international now.
I apologise. Je ne sais pas is I don't know. Je ne sais quoi, I may not even be a thing.
What?
There was a Kylie Minogue song in the 80s that went, je ne sais pas pourquoi I still love you. It goes on pourquoi? For a while. Je ne sais pas pourquoi.
What does pourquoi mean?
Why?
Why?
Oh, yeah.
Pourquoi?
Yeah, That's the
one.
I don't know why.
Pat as in P-A-S?
Yes.
That's in negatives.
Yes, I don't know why. Say, S-A-I-S, is the French word for no. Je.
Oh, is
ne sais pas. Don't know. No, not.
Say means...
No. Je n'aime pas. I don't like. Je n'aime pas.
I thought it was one word.
Je ne sais pas.
Is it G-E-S?
All right, Evie. All right. Let's get Duolingo out when we're done here. Right.
Sorry. Can
Izzy,
I finish
your
my...
point?
Yeah, I like how... I think the show's been very successful in the themes front, actually. Because, like we were saying, like, earlier on, it was all about, like, teamwork and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's definitely moved on in the second half of the series to kind of more deeper stuff, like, about growing up. You know, the crew were starting to grow up, and actually the themes are growing up a little bit.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And I think they've been really successful in that.
Like Harry Potter. Every year the books get a bit more mature.
And dark.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. Evie, have you thought of anything else you liked now?
This episode didn't really give me much.
Okay, well, we'll come back to you in a bit then.
Oh,
what about characters then? What did you like about the characters in this, Isabel?
I liked... I liked Murph. Always liked Murph. Mm-hmm. I liked...
Did Murph say a word?
No.
He said, woo!
Okay.
Cool.
And I actually like how... Gwyn, another theme like slash character thing, Gwyn was able to realize that actually those staff, like joining Starfleet was great and all, there was something else she needed to do first, and actually she had the ability to say goodbye to her friends to do, and I think that maybe was trying to say actually it's okay to say goodbye to people.
Yeah, okay, I like that.
Thanks.
Sarah?
I like the way it sort of tied everything up, so it was quite neat.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I can imagine if you watch the two episodes together,
yes,
you'll get a really good sense of pacing.
Mm. Yeah.
Because they were constantly trying to work out how to resolve the situation. It just felt a bit quick in this episode because,
yeah,
obviously it was the second part of an episode.
And we were quite desperate to watch it as well, weren't we?
So. Yeah. We were very desperate to watch it, guys. We got the launch day.
Yeah, we tried to watch it the day before, right? We tried to watch it on the Thursday. We were very disappointed, weren't we?
Yeah. Guys, it wasn't okay.
Okay, it's a pop quiz check Evie understood what was going on moment, right? So, Gwyn, where's she going?
To her home planet.
And who's she going to see there?
Her dad.
How come? He's dead.
Because he time travelled to get to Tars Lamora.
Right. Well, did she got it, guys? Yeah, woo! All right. Good work. So why, she's going to meet a younger version of her dad.
Why did he time travel?
What?
What?
Why did he okay. What? So the diviner. Right. This is the whole point of the story. The diviner travelled back in time from 50 years in the future because he blamed Starfleet for ruining his homeworld. Right, Starfleet made first contact with their species.
Wait,
so the Diviner blamed it on ruining their species. And
so where is she? The Diviner is really old.
So, no, right, okay, hang on. Chronology. Yeah. 50 years ago. Uh-huh. No, not, well, we don't know how far ago, actually, do we?
Wait. So?
Yeah.
So we're going from the setting of where we find Adal and whatnot on Tars Lamora.
Yes.
50 years in the future.
From that, yes.
Starfleet is going to do something to his home planet.
Well, at some point in the future. The Diviner will go back in time.
Yeah, so they just rock up, basically, and then rock away again without a care in the world, which is the sort of common theme in Starfleet First Contact. Mm. But the society couldn't cope with having had First Contact.
So where does the Chakotay time travel bit come in? Well, that's how the Diviner goes back in time.
Yeah, that's how I
There's a time anomaly. Guys, I explained this to you like two episodes ago.
So Chakotay's still lost in the future.
Yeah.
Right. And on the same anomaly, the Diviner went, and all the other people from that civilization went back in time. Got dropped off at various points in the timeline.
In time, yeah.
Right, which is where Jamila Jamil's character came in. Right. But so all that society is living its good life right now before Starfleet have found them. So what Gwyn's planning on doing, Eves, what Gwyn is planning on doing is going to that society
She's
and saying, hey guys, it's going to be okay. Well, is there a bit of temporal causality going on there? Is she the one that causes all the nonsense?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, time travel, man.
If she does end up stopping it, then the Diviner won't travel back in time and then...
Paradox! Woo, woo!
But is it a bootstrap paradox? A grandpa paradox?
Mm.
That's one, isn't it?
Yeah, where are you getting all these from?
The paradoxes.
Mm.
I just know them. I'm just smart and also a Doctor Who geek. It's not important, guys. Carry on.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So there we go. Does that make sense now, Evie?
Oui.
Good.
When?
J'aime ça beaucoup. That means I like it a lot. I think it does anyway.
I like it. What did you say?
Oh my God. Right. This isn't important.
That
is not it.
Okay.
This
is it. Okay. Anyway. So that's okay. So you like that anyway. What were you saying? That was your character link, wasn't it? That you like that Gwyn's off doing her own thing.
Yeah.
She
has the ability to say goodbye.
Mm.
What else did I like? Right, you guys are all just, I don't know, gloom and doom over there.
I liked it.
Okay.
Tell me why I liked it.
No, so I was about to go on to the kiss.
As you haven't asked.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that last episode I said, I hope they don't timey-wimey their way out of it and they science their way out instead. And they did. They science their way out.
Well, it's a bit of both, really, because they caused a temporal rift.
Oh, that's true. Oh, have they caused the rift that Chakotay gets lost in?
Yeah.
Oh!
Wait, no, guys.
Paradox. Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop. Anyway, I was about to move on to the Dal and Gwyn kiss. The thing that we have been waiting for this whole time, that we've been linking up the whole season, and suddenly you guys were like last episode, oh my gosh, where did this come from? It's not acceptable. Like, they've literally been hinting at it all season, guys. Okay. It was one kiss and they held hands.
Did you like the kiss today?
In a planet. I did. I'm as you guys all know, I'm a hopeless romantic.
Yeah, that's true. That's nice. I like that about you.
Thanks.
Good. All right. What do you want to do next, Izzy? Do you want to let Evie get all her negs off her chest? Or do you want to do Izzy's segment?
No, I don't think they're quite warmed up enough for Izzy's segment right now. Right. Let's do Izzy. They need the positivity of Izzy's segment.
To finish with.
Right, okay. From Evie's negativity. Eves,
go on then, what didn't you like?
I had a little vibration. I don't think it really achieved. No, it achieved something, but it was... not for me.
Why? Go on.
Achieve anything.
Illustrate your point.
It wasn't really anything special. I feel like it's because I don't know.
You think that bringing all of Starfleet, including the Enterprise E, to the Terran system where they proceeded to destroy themselves—that
was part one. That was part one, Dad.
Okay, and then them sciencing their way out by creating a wavy supernova.
That was really pretty.
It feels like that's been done before.
Where's that been done before?
No, like...
Noble sacrifice.
It just, yeah.
But that gets done all the time, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But there's only so many options only you've got
Chris
for...
Only Chris Hemsworth did that right.
Sarah.
So, I have questions.
Okay, good.
And I hope these aren't taken as negatives, because they're not. They're just things that popped into my head.
Uh-huh.
And one is a complaint, actually. Firstly, I just... how come you've got such idiots manning the trial?
Yeah.
Because, like, clearly they didn't steal the ship.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't. I know they kept saying that they did, but they didn't.
Yeah,
and it's Vulcans. Their aim to start with was always to take the ship back. They weren't the original thieves of the ship.
Yep.
So that's just annoying. Like, if you're going to be in charge of,
yep,
you know, justice in Starfleet, then at least listen to the facts in front of you. Secondly... why does Starfleet have so many steps? It's just struck me as really ridiculous.
Yeah, okay.
And thirdly, unless I've completely misunderstood
the concept,
like, are they literally going around plucking protostars out of the universe?
Ooh.
Like, what is this doing to the fabric of the universe?
Right.
Just randomly just going and picking them up, plonking them in a ship?
No, they...
Interesting.
They're not artificial.
Are they artificial ones? Maybe they're growing their own protein.
What's the thingy called?
What thingy?
Replicator.
No, I don't think you can.
I don't think you can replicate a star.
Why not, Sarah? Why can't you? I was about to say that. I was like, no, shut up.
Because it's so much energy that you can't.
Because
a replicator can only make things out of the energy it's got.
Also, so the Romulan, we sort of had this discussion, didn't we, about the Romulans' drive in the first half of the. They use a temporal, whatever it is, thing, don't they? They use what do they use?
That was in Strange New Worlds we were watching, Daddy.
Yeah, and it was in Face of the Enemy where Troy gets... what is it? No, it's the next phase, isn't it? It's the next phase.
Rowan and LaForge.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Ensign Row.
Ensign Row, pretty much the
next generation.
Yeah. The Bob.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a solution to Mum's step question.
Okay.
It's Starfleet's Get Fit Quick scheme, okay? Like... you know in the movie Wall-E, all of them have got really, like, fat because they have the ability to just, like, go around in these chairs and life is easy, right?
Oh, excuses.
Yeah. Mm. They've been transporting everywhere, so no longer need to be able to walk.
Mm.
So it's Starfleet's Get Fit Quick scheme. Yes?
Sarah? Yeah.
I've got another question.
Okay.
But do you want to address the original questions first?
No, I think so. Izzy's done that perfectly. She's rebutted your questions.
I've rebutted your questions.
Okay. How come the shuttle was allowed to crash land on Earth? Like, surely a ship would have picked it up before then.
No, I think they did pick it up. They towed it into San Francisco, didn't they?
It crashed in the sea.
Plonked it in the bay? Like, why would they plonk
it
in the bay?
No, I thought that was...
they were in the bay.
Oh, really? Oh, I thought that was leftover debris from the fight in space.
Well, I could be
no,
wrong.
It was definitely
they just
crash-landed and
wandered in.
It wasn't right outside Earth.
They were still in it, weren't they? Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Right. So what was the debris then?
It didn't occur right outside Earth.
The top.
It was in...
yeah, it was in the Terran system, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
But there were loads of planets.
It was the top. The only bit that had been saved, Daddy.
The star system, the Terran system.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it could have been outside Jupiter. I don't know.
You mean they breached the Mars defense perimeter?
Well, quite.
Basically,
the only bit that was left that they were in was the little dish bit that they'd been sitting in.
Oh, okay.
All the rest of it was debris around them.
Yeah, did you not see that?
Okay. It was a launch of Star Trek 4!
Yeah, oh, what, were they land in the bay?
Okay, all right.
Yeah, well played.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was silly.
Okay.
Well, I quite like the drama of seeing them being brought up by the Golden Gate Bridge. I thought that was nice. Yes. Yeah.
That's true. The view outside San Francisco, just like all the pinks and the colours,
they've purified Earth. It's hope that they have fixed Earth's problems.
Yeah.
Whoa, this is sounding suspiciously like my GCSE speech. Oh, and I had a solution to your other question about the justice system.
Yeah.
It's not part of Star Trek commenting on social issues. Maybe they were commenting on the justice system of America.
Ooh,
also, when someone... Okay, right, that's a really bad example.
Yeah.
I was about to say, you know how, like, they obviously didn't steal the ship?
Yeah.
How do they know that they didn't obviously steal the ship?
Well, because part of taking part in a trial is that you gather evidence.
What was the evidence?
Well, you'd talk to them, wouldn't you?
I reckon they watched the series.
She stayed on the ship, Brock.
Knowing how stubborn you all are, especially you, Jankum, I did what I had to so that you could fulfill your potential. I'm truly proud to have seen how far you've all come. My only regret is not being there when you arrive at the steps of Starfleet Academy.
But we don't have navigation!
You may think you need me to get there, but after seeing everything you've accomplished, I have full confidence you'll find your way. Because together, your potential is infinite. Now, go boldly.
Sarah, your hand was up.
It's gone up my head now. Oh, and Janeway. Did she not reverse the split infinitive?
Yeah, go boldly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, I
like that. That was good, that. Go boldly. I like that.
That I did enjoy that. Despite my questions, I did really, really enjoy the episode. And I have a feeling if I'd have watched them both, contemporaneously, then I wouldn't have noticed those points. It's because it was quite a slow episode, standalone episode.
Mm. I like how it brought some finality, right? So if it didn't get renewed for a second season,
I felt
like it'd be satisfied.
Yeah.
There's stuff they can work with in a second season if they did get renewed.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, there's nothing really that the kids have to remember.
Mm.
You know? Okay.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing super important. Like, everything's... It's only going to take a little bit of a previously on Star Trek Prodigy.
Mm.
I'm going off to my home planet. Let's go do this thing.
Like hype.
Yeah, also, you know what I mean? For the kids to remember.
Mm.
I figured out, you know how we were talking on it was either on a podcast or something about what are things like go fast or, you know,
yeah.
Whatever. My one would be full steam ahead.
Full steam ahead. Okay.
Yeah. So with them being warrant officers, Steve, what does that mean?
I've got no idea.
Does that basically mean they're going to be obnoxious cadets because they'll have done everything?
What does warrant mean?
I think warrant officers are non-commissioned officers, aren't they, in the old Navy? I thought Miles O'Brien was a warrant officer of sorts.
So is it a way of keeping them out there on Janeway's ship without...
Okay. And like what Picard did with Wesley,
which
made him an acting ensign. When he made him an acting ensign. Yeah.
What?
I get confused. Yeah, good. Okay. Should we do Izzy's segment now?
Okay.
Okay, everyone, hang on. I know I know Suki got some music sorted for Izzy's segment.
Buckle your seatbelt.
Let's do it now.
Well, oh.
No, I say now.
I was going to say welcome to Izzy's segment and then now.
Well, I don't know. I think the music comes and then the segment.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say welcome.
Okay.
So I say welcome to Izzy's segment, then the music comes on and then you start speaking, okay?
You're taking away the welcome to Izzy's segment from me though. Okay,
okay, well, you know, you but, say yeah. Welcome to Izzy's segment.
But that's what I was saying.
Oh, was it?
Welcome to Izzy's
music. Hang on, everyone.
No, I say welcome to Izzy's segment. Yeah. Music plays.
Yeah.
We come in and a have very you handsome
seen the one show. Have you ever seen
that? You know what? Play ever. The music. Play the music.
Pointless. Even in Pointless.
Play the music.
Right, we're going to imagine the music's there now. Okay. Great.
Welcome to Izzy's segment, okay? You've ruined it, okay?
This is all good stuff. People like the ad hoc nature of our live family discussions.
Ad hoc nature.
That's the beauty of what we do.
We got told today that we were a lovely family.
Yeah, we did.
We did. Yeah.
We are.
Nice. Yeah.
It was nice. Anyway.
It would have meant more if it hadn't been us saying it.
Yeah. Can we get back to Izzy's segment?
Yes, sorry, yeah,
yeah. So you may be thinking, listeners, how are we meant to do Izzy's segment when it was the last episode of the series? Don't worry. We're going to do what we want to see happen if there was a next season.
Okay, right.
Okay,
right.
This is the way my brilliant mind works.
Okay.
I'm going to start off at Evie. Let's ease us in slowly. What do you want to see happen next season?
I kind of want to just see normal. Well, okay, I just want to see Star Trek where every episode is a different thing, you know?
Yep, like Strange New Worlds.
Interesting. Yeah, yep, and TNG, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep, fun.
That's cool.
Yep. I didn't want to see normal Star Trek because I just thought we'd have a go at me.
Okay, Mummy, what do you want to see happen next season?
Well, more of the same, to be fair. So mm-hmm. I'm with Evie, but I like the idea that we might have a new story arc of rescuing Chakotay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's true. That's
but
true.
Still with, you know, we said the episodes were fairly self-contained, weren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's everyone important apart from me that needs to say something. Fine, Dad. Because we all know what you want. You want Ben Sisko to come flying through this wormhole.
I mean, that would be.
I want there to be a big DS9 thing. I say that. As long as they're not planning some other big Deep Space Nine thing, mm-hmm. in which case, leave it alone until that gets sorted. But if there's no plans for any Deep Space Nine thing, I want all those people in Prodigy.
Randomly, they put all the crew of Deep Space Nine on Janeway's new ship.
That's exactly right.
Just they were like, who are we going to put on this ship?
Yeah, that's what I want.
Who are we going to put on this ship? Let's see.
Yeah,
a Bajoran officer.
Yeah.
A Ferengi who just sells drinks.
Yep.
Okay.
You know asked, what? I've told you.
Don't and that's why don't I mock said me. Only the most important views have been shared.
Be Rom's restaurant. So what's his name? Is it Rom?
Rom, yeah.
Rom. Yeah, Rom's going to be Negus.
He's the Negus, yeah.
Oh, he's the Negus.
Oh, sorry.
Izzy, what would you like to see next season?
Well, I'm glad someone asked. I was feeling really underappreciated.
What is your segment? You can't.
Thanks. No. Right, shush. Okay, now you're just taking over. Stop being obnoxious.
What if it was Ben's son?
I'm losing control here.
What's his name?
Jake.
I knew it was
I'd
Jake.
Love Wesley to show up as the traveller.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That's what I'd really like.
It was literally just...
How about a Lower Decks crossover?
Yeah.
Are they set in the same period? Lower Decks and Prodigy.
Yeah, they are, aren't they? I was just thinking about Picard, and wasn't Wesley and Picard like right at the end?
Yeah,
that's probably a spoiler.
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah.
You didn't watch Picard, Evie.
Let's see what happens if you miss things.
Did I not?
No.
That's what happens when you miss staff meetings.
Yeah. Nice. Hey. Star Trek 3.
That's funny. Okay. Now moving on to Izzy. I think now I'm going to drop the accent. Okay.
Hello, everyone. I'm Kate Mulgrew, and I voice Catherine Janeway in Star Trek Prodigy. This week's lesson is that we are capable of achieving anything we set our minds to. If there's one thing that space travel teaches us about ourselves, it's that our achievements are only limited by our imagination. If we aim high, Dream big and stay confident. We can accomplish anything.
I like the sound of that.
Hologram Janeway has taught the crew of the Protostar many things, but quite possibly her most important lesson is the one she teaches in the season finale.
Your potential is infinite.
She knows they have big dreams of joining Starfleet.
Go boldly.
Exploring new life and civilizations. And of course, going boldly where no one has gone before. Janeway's words are for all of us. Believe in yourself and aim for the stars.
What I'd like to see, I want to see them having like grown as people. I want to see that they've actually got somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not all just gone to pop, because I hate it when a TV show, like when you're able to binge and there's like 7 seasons and something really good happened in season 5 and suddenly you come back to season 6 and everything's on fire and everyone hates each other. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it'll be like, oh, where's Rock Talk? We don't talk to Rock Talk anymore.
Mm-hmm. We don't talk about...
You know what I mean? I'd hate
talking about Grey's Anatomy. Are you saying you don't want it to become Grey's Anatomy?
Basically.
I don't think you're in much danger of that happening.
Yeah. Shush. Okay.
And there's going to be less car crashes.
Yeah, aeroplane crashes. Yeah, okay. Anyway.
Gunmen.
Stop.
Hey, no, there'll be gunmen.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I want to see happen. I want to see them prevailing. That's the word I was looking for.
Prevailing.
You know, maybe come in contact. Emergency message. Dahl, I need your help. Gwyn, is that you? You know, and then it's like.
His voice is that low.
Shush. I'm here with Chakotay. Mm. And then they're like,
you turned into the Grand Nagus there.
I need them to be able. No, okay. And then Dahl's like, Janeway, we have to go rescue them. It's Gwyn. And she's like, it is Chakotay. Let's go. And then that's the whole of season 2.
I like it. That's very good. Is that the end of Izzy's segment now?
Okay. Thanks for listening to Izzy's segment, guys.
Right, final thoughts then on, so 2 things, final thoughts on this episode and this season. We'll go around once for each of those ideas. Okay, so Sarah, any final thoughts on this episode?
No.
Okay, Evie, final thoughts on this episode?
No.
Isabel?
I don't think so.
Okay, I have no final thoughts other than it was great to see the Enterprise again.
And literally in a flash.
Yeah.
I didn't even see it. You were like, it's the Enterprise. Yeah, and then it was gone.
Well, it was, and it was good.
How many lights you see?
There are 4 lights!
I asked how many lights you see.
Right, okay. So, lights out of 5 for this episode, Sarah?
3.5.
3.5.
3.72941.
Thank you.
I'm going to give it 4, you guys. You've got to be more positive.
Yeah, I'm going 4. Right, final thoughts about the season as a whole. Sarah?
Oh, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It was brilliant. Really, really good.
Good.
And surpassed my expectations.
Lights out of 5.
Oh, 5. Loved it. Okay. It was great.
Great. Eves?
That was a mid-season break, wasn't that?
It was.
Yeah. That was a bit quirky, but yeah. Yeah.
Lights out of 5?
5.
5 lights out of 5.
I love, like, when you look at the characters back in episode 1 and the characters in episode 20, the amount of character development and actually, like, world building and, like, storyline work and effort that's been put into this season. Like, we've been saying how you can't find a plot hole.
Mm.
Like, I mean, Mum's found, like, 3 in this, but it's fine. Like, the storyline's been so tight. The amount of effort that, like, this whole season has like clearly had put into it. It's been really impressive and nice to see. So, you know, 5 lights.
Yep.
Defo recommend.
I would endorse all of your comments. Felt like real good Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also give it 5 lights out of 5. Although, on a point of order, there's no way we gave 5 lights out of 5 for, in fact, many episodes. So how can it be as a season, a series, how can it be 5 lights?
We're giving some of its parts,
yeah,
Steve.
We're giving the 5 lights for the story arc.
Right.
Like, just in general, I thought,
yeah, is
he? I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy with that.
Also,
what a lovely...
we only started doing out lights out of 5 in, yeah, like, episode, like, 3 episodes ago. Okay,
shush.
So.
I don't think anyone's noticed. well, what a lovely, positive, upbeat way to end the season. I know that a lot of the producers listen to our podcast, so so thank you.
Has one of them listened?
I don't know. I'm not really interested. I'm just saying thank you to everybody who made it, and it's been a real joy for us as a family to watch it together. I think it's really achieved its aim of being a thoughtful, entertaining opportunity for young people and older people to reflect on what it is to be alive. So lovely. Thanks. Anyone else want to say something to round off with?
Very much enjoyed a bit of The Kid Who Would Be King last night, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Where's good Star Trek actors in it?
Yeah, it has. Right, excellent.
And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy
New Year. 2022.
And what a great year for Star Trek. 5 series of Star Trek.
No way.
Yeah, has been
Picard,
on.
Picard, Strange New Worlds.
Yeah.
Discovery. Prodigy. Discovery.
Lodex.
Oh my gosh. It's a great time to be alive.
You're so spoiled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What can you say?
Hang on. You had Voyager, Deep Space Nine.
No, there's only ever 2 of them on at any one time. So there's TNG and DS9 on together, and then DS9 and Voyager on together, and that was it. Mm-hmm. And then there was Enterprise on its own.
But no, we don't talk about Enterprise.
We do. We love Enterprise.
No, we don't.
Been a long road. Get it from there to here.
Well, as the dulcet tones of Enterprise fade out, the Davis Flyer wishes you a very, merry new year.
I will touch the skies. And they're not gonna hold me back no more. No, they're not gonna change my mind. Cause I got faith of the heart. I'm going where my heart will take me. I got faith to believe I can do anything. I got strength of the soul. And nothing's gonna bend or break me. I can reach any star. Cause I've got faith of the heart.
Vice Admiral's log, stardate 61408.8. A new day dawns. It's been hardly a week in San Francisco, and the young crew of the Protostar have already settled into a bold new era of possibilities. Their heroism in the face of astonishing odds has moved even the sternest admirals at Starfleet Command. Though they could not enroll in the Academy, I have faith that time spent training in a non-commissioned role will serve them well, especially if they still hope to apply one day. The exception made for Dahl has widened the rights of augments left ambiguous by Bashir versus Starfleet Medical. Times are changing, it seems, especially as we open our minds to the young and the new perspectives they bring. But the case of Chakotay remains unanswered. The rift created by the Protostar's detonation and the alternate future awaiting us on the other side have been classified by Starfleet under the Temporal Prime Directive, but that doesn't mean I've given up. We will find you, Chakotay, somehow.
The finale of this season, it's very dramatic and very intense.
You're just a mistake!
No!
Complete our mission. Open hails!
At the end of the first 10 episodes, you kind of think that the Diviner's out of the story, and that's that. But we really wanted to dive deeper. We wanted to see a little bit of repair between him and his daughter.
Before I had a daughter, this was mine!
Gwyn's relationship with the Diviner, her father, is obviously very complicated. I mean, she loves her father for better or for worse, but also recognizes that she has to defeat his plan.
No, don't answer that, Hale!
She doesn't want to destroy Starfleet, she has to save them, but she also knows that it's up to her to save Solon.
Maybe you can unify them, do what I never could.
They get this really beautiful moment where she gets this new perspective on him.
My father made mistakes, but he was right. I need to save the Valnakot.
So by the time she makes that decision that she wants to return to Solem, I mean, really see Solem for the first time and continue his mission in a more Starfleet-y way. I mean, it's a lot of pressure. Through these joint experiences she has with Ikora, I think she's finally equipped with the tools and the knowledge and the lessons where she might actually be able to achieve it.
We have to destroy the Protostar.
Except the Protostar's auto controls are fried. Someone will have to stay back to detonate it.
It was a very difficult decision when we, as in a writer's room, realized that we needed to destroy the Protostar and hologram Janeway with it. But for the type of storytelling that my brother and I like to do, we wanted a very emotionally climactic finale for our show.
I did what I had to so that you could fulfill your potential.
It's a very Janeway thing to do. I gave a small degree of sentience to hologram Janeway in this moment because it's important to lift them up by showing them through my voice and my reactions, even as the hologram, that it is very, very difficult to say goodbye. Very, very hard to know that I am sacrificing myself.
For Dal, I think that was a very important relationship to him, but also a very important sacrifice for him to see as well. And a sort of prestige point to know that she thought he was ready to go forth.
Your potential is infinite.
What that harkens back to is that relationship that all parents must go through of letting your child grow up. It's a sad moment. But it's a moment that has to happen as kids get older when they find out who they are, which is what the show's about.
Do you want us to consider letting them apply to Starfleet Academy?
Including this augment?
Dal had a very big mystery around his origins. Typically, you would see he's the destined fighter for whatever the galaxy, and we wanted to go the opposite way. In essence, discovering that he's a laboratory mistake.
Dal finding out that he was an augment was really hard for him because, you know, from the very beginning, since he was orphaned on Tars Lamora, he's always been looking for sort of his origin and his place. And as, like, you know, a black person, sometimes it can feel sort of like there are these prejudices that hold you back. And, you know, being an augment and not being allowed in Starfleet was one of the sort of last prejudices of Starfleet.
You got in.
To see them break that was really inspiring to me. And also, I think, for Dal, because, you know, it does give you a place and it does give you something to be proud of.
And I absolutely love for Dal at the very final episodes, the speech by Janeway saying that he's a living example of what Starfleet is all about. It's all of us coming together.
I don't want you to leave.
I like to watch Dal and Gwyn. I like to see them. I'm watching them with a very keen interest.
I've been rooting for Dal and Gwyn since the very beginning. I know Dal has kissed Gwyn before, and she's kind of been like, whoa, what are you doing? And sort of friend-zoned him, so it's really endearing to see them grow closer together.
Gwyn teaches him responsibility and a sort of a leadership style, and I think he teaches her how to have fun, and they develop this tenderness and vulnerability, and they get closer, and it becomes this romance, which is just really sweet and touching and authentic.
You're gonna be our captain?
In a way.
The end of season one is a bit of a handoff. The kids have had Hologram Janeway, who's a kid-friendly Janeway, and now they've graduated to an Admiral Janeway. She's no nonsense. So what you're going to see in season two is you're going to see that relationship blossom.
Janeway is, hands down, just one of my favorite characters ever. I'm so glad that she's back and that she plays such a pivotal role in this. I mean, she's a leader. She's a true leader.
It's day 72 since the Val Nakat captured the Protostar.
I remember I had a little tear during the session, and the Hagemans were so, so lovely. She's in pursuit now to find Chakotay for many, many years, and suddenly the voice is heard. So it was emotional, and it was profound. And when I get to play those moments, it's very rewarding.
There are discussions of sending an exploratory ship.
I want to be on it.
What can we tease, but
what
without
can we
blowing
tease
it?
The fans?
In season two, we're going to see a lot more familiar faces.
Admiral Janeway has promised them a new ship, but not the Protostar. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something that fans can speculate
something
on.
Much bigger.
Gwyn is in for a journey. She is going to Solem. She's separating from the crew. she's engaging in a sort of, I guess, a long distance relationship.
Dell, now he's going to go from the captain of his own ship to an entire world of people who are also training to be those things and really learning his actual place in the universe. I just hope that Dal can come to terms with letting someone else lead. And if he can truly sacrifice his own ego and become a member of the team.
I love the fact that we have sort of all these different storylines going on by the end.
We promise.
We promise.
We're going to deliver the goods in season two, and it's magical.
Well, are you coming or not? Ha ha ha!